Renegade Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Blitz. Thank you so much for joining me here on Renegade Broadcasting. Today's date is February 20th, 2020. Yes, it's 2-20-2020. And tonight on the Blitz, I want to talk about a subject that has nothing to do with politics, at least not directly, nothing to do with Jewish supremacists, and nothing really to do with white genocide. I've covered those topics so much in the past. No, instead, what I'm going to be talking about tonight is butterflies. And actually, this is all based on a dream I had somewhat recently where I was giving a weird presentation on butterflies. So I figured, hey, I might as well put together a show to talk about the importance of butterflies and what's happening to them, because maybe my dreams are trying to tell me something. So, here we go. I've done a show on bees before in the past and flowers, and I guess it only seems fitting that butterflies should be covered as well. I've done a symbolic breakdown of the butterfly as it relates to monarch mind control and other programming that's going on in the mainstream media, but that's not what I'm going to be getting into here tonight. If you want to check that out in the second part of our Pizzagate series, Beyond Pizzagate, you'll find the mind control culture section, which has a good bit to do with monarch mind control. And I think that's very important. You go check that out, and that really needs some visuals. But sometimes I think we lose a little bit of the natural, real thing when we always get focused on, oh, look at this evil symbolism. Look at, you know, how Moloch is this evil deity that is having children sacrificed to it. And then we associate anything to do with the bull with being evil. And that's not the way it should be. Same thing with the butterflies. Now, when you see a bunch of butterflies in the mainstream media or on particular brands of clothing, you might have to think, why are they putting that there? But just real, actual butterflies and our attraction to them, especially with children, that is a natural thing, and they're just exploiting that. So let's just start off here with an article about why butterflies are important. Most people probably wouldn't really think twice about it. And they probably don't think that there's anything happening with butterflies, but indeed, there are many bad indicators as to the overall health and numbers of butterflies, just like with bees, and probably for similar reasons. Aside from offering a great deal of aesthetic value to our countryside and heritage, butterflies offer a great deal to the world in which they live, which is far beyond what we see as they flutter past. Much like bees, butterflies are heavily involved in the pollination of plants, but they do this in a way that is much different, not only from bees, but any other animal on our planet. A different kind of pollinator. Bees operate on a pretty organized operation of pollination, which is why they are heavily utilized in the commercial growing of fruits and vegetables. That said, however, butterflies are known to travel much longer distances, evenly covering large areas of plants in a single setting. According to Mike Malloy, butterflies like to perch on larger flower heads when they hunt nectar, collecting pollen on their legs and body as they search for food, he says. He says that legs and the butterfly's proboscis are longer and farther away from the flower's pollen, so less pollen collects on its body parts than it does on bees, but still they are very effective pollinators. It's no secret that 90% of all plants need pollinators to reproduce, and with the current decline of the bee population, butterflies are proving ever more vital to the ecosystem. It is also known that butterflies provide assistance in the genetic variation of the plant species that they collect nectar from, largely thanks to their long-distance travel, allowing pollen to be shared across differing groups of plants that are sometimes miles away from one another. This means that the plants involved become more resistant to diseases, giving them a better chance of survival. Makes sense. A natural pest control. Butterflies also provide a critical role in natural pest control and limit the need for harmful insecticides or other chemicals. Harley Botanic has long championed, and that's who put this article out, Harley Botanic, has long championed natural forms of pest control, often by utilizing natural enemies against each other. It's worth noting, however, that depending on what kind of climate your garden provides, to the type of soil that it contains, it will attract different species a butterfly. They provide a clear indication of ecosystem changes. Although we might not know it to look, but butterflies actually provide us with clear indications of the state of our environment. Reacting quickly and with extreme measure, butterflies are known to change their behavior and activity to even the slightest changes within the areas that they inhabit. This provides us with an early warning indication that something is not right in a particular area, which is why butterflies are some of the most monitored animals in the world. But butterfly decline can also affect other animals too. Stephen Dickey at Butterfly Conservation says that birds plan their whole breeding season around when caterpillars will be most abundant. If the butterfly and caterpillar numbers are depleted, then there's not going to be a lot of food for developing chicks. Butterflies and other animals. As you can imagine, butterflies can be found at the base of the food chain, making them an important food source for many birds and mice. This means that when butterfly populations suffer, so does everything else above it, creating a butterfly effect. Interestingly, nearly two-thirds of all invertebrate species can be linked back to the butterfly via the food chain. It's why scientists fear that if the butterfly were to disappear, it could cause the collapse of much of the ecosystems that we need. Yeah, that really gives a whole new meaning to the term butterfly effect, doesn't it? Now I'm going to turn to an article from back in 2013, Monarch Butterflies in Decline Due to Proliferation of GM Crops, and this was written by Alex Petrowski. The monarch butterfly is yet another animal species that appears to be in rapid decline due to the rise in herbicide-resistant genetically modified crops. These butterflies lay eggs on milkweed plants, and once the eggs hatch, monarch caterpillars feed exclusively on the weed. We have some of these out in our garden, and it definitely attracts monarch butterflies, and it's really great to see them. This, where we live, is definitely one of the places that they like to stop off, and it's great to give them some of the food that they need. And yeah, the caterpillars will eat the milkweed plants, but they'll just keep coming back. We've got some milkweed flowering right now, actually, since it's been unusually warm earlier on in the year. Yet the overuse of Monsanto's Roundup herbicide across millions of acres of Roundup-ready crops is believed to be destroying the milkweed necessary for monarch butterflies to thrive. Cornell University was the first to raise attention to the harm that GM crops may have on these vivacious creatures, claiming that toxic pollen from GM corn would drift onto milkweed, poisoning monarch caterpillars and butterflies. Cornell's research was criticized, and the United States National Academy of Sciences claimed that GM corn posed no risk to populations of monarch butterflies, as the amount of pollen that travels from GM corn onto milkweed was not sufficient to harm the caterpillars. Yet the species has been declining steadily since 1999. Why? Now, researchers at University of Minnesota and Iowa State University once again reveal studies with the same conclusion. Monarch butterfly populations are declining due to the proliferation of GM crops. Although the conclusion is the same, the underlying reason is different. The heavy use of herbicides on herbicide-resistant crops is changing the ecological landscape of farmlands. The milkweed plant is beginning to disappear, and with it, so is the monarch butterfly. Quote, the researchers estimate that the amount of milkweed in the Midwest plunged from 58% plunged 58% from 1999 to 2010, pressured mainly by the expansion of Roundup Ready genetically engineered crops. Over the same period, monarch egg production in the region sank by 81%. Obviously, these things are related. Another study published in the journal Crop Protection and conducted by Robert G. Hartzler, an agronomist at Iowa State, found that milkweed on farms in Iowa declined 90% from 1999 to 2009. Additionally, his study found milkweed only on 8% of corn and soybean fields surveyed in 2009, which is 51% lower than in 1999. What are we willing to sacrifice for GM crops? Worldwide, pollinator bees are disappearing, and researchers are now blaming the global overuse of pesticides and colony collapse disorder. Now we are looking at exterminating the iconic and beautiful monarch. Perhaps to some, the decline and potential future loss of an animal species is insignificant, and some might argue that trying to solve the problem of world hunger certainly comes with costs. Yet the issue here is much bigger. We are discovering new fortuitous consequences that come with the use of GM crops. Although most may be unintentional, these consequences are destroying the biodiversity of our planet, and other potential solutions to world hunger and food shortages are being overlooked and even derailed in the rush to create boutique crops dependent on chemical companies. The final question then arises: at which point will the human species start to feel a more direct impact that genetic modification of crops on our habitats, our ability to grow nutritious foods, and our ability to nurture our bodies? And this next article is from more recently. This is from 2017. Government considers adding monarch butterflies to the endangered species list. Not like that would actually really help anything, and I don't think that they ever did. It's from Heather Callaghan. Something is causing monarch butterflies to disappear at a dramatically higher rate in western North America than in the eastern regions of the U.S. In the early 1990s, people in the coastal areas of California noticed a disconcerting decline of the monarch. It turns out they were correct. While scientists have focused on the problem of butterflies in the eastern region, a new study uses citizen science monitoring over the decades to see a dramatic decline at western clusters. Cheryl Schultz, an associate professor at Washington State University, Vancouver, and lead author of a new study, said, "Western monarchs are faring worse than their eastern counterparts. In the 1980s, 10 million monarchs spent the winter in coastal California. Today, there are barely 300,000. And it's not just that there are fewer monarch butterflies than there were decades ago. The study also tells us that if things stay the same, Western monarchs probably won't be around as we know them in another 35 years. What Schultz is emphasizing is that if something isn't done right now to stop the decline, butterflies as we know them won't be around for our children. Current trends indicate an extinction risk of 72% in 20 years and 86% in 50 years, according to their analysis. Emma Pelton, endangered species conservation biologist at the Xerxes Society for Invertebrate Conservation and co-author of the study, said, Scientists, policymakers, and the public have been focused on the dramatic declines in the well-known Eastern population, yet the study reveals that Western monarchs are even more at risk for extinction. We will need significant conservation action to save monarch butterflies in the West. Washington State University reports, like Eastern monarchs, which overwinter in Mexico, Western monarchs have a spectacular migration. They overwinter in forested groves along coastal California, then fan out in the spring to lay their eggs on milkweed and drink nectar from flowers in Arizona, California, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Utah. They return to their coastal overwintering sites in the fall. What has disrupted this part of their life cycle? Since the trend started 3 decades ago, the scientists surmise that the modification of habitat and increasing pesticide use are likely culprits. Even the USDA scrutinizes pesticides for killing off butterfly populations. It wouldn't be a true environmental study without also pointing fingers at climate change. However, they admit that we don't really know what's going on. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which funded the study, is now considering whether to list the monarch butterfly as a threatened species under the Endangered Species Act. The research concludes that to get populations back up, managers could target historic abundance and high enough growth rates to avoid near-term extinction, with hope there will be souls out there to help replenish populations, or else we'll have to contend with, robo-butterflies, too. Making a reference to the robo-bees that Google and others were developing to counteract the loss of our bee populations. Who cares if the bees all die out? We got robo-bees who will pollinate the plants. That's some good thinking there for you. Now I'm going to turn to an article that not only deals with butterflies being decimated, but also some other insects and birds, and not due to pesticides this time. Of course, that plays a factor, but this article is looking at what wireless frequencies, such as 5G, are doing to these very important pollinators and other parts of our ecosystem. Starts off with 5G heats bees. Research conducted by Thielens et al. 2018 found higher frequencies caused heating of small insects. The thermal imaging picture shows heating of a bee. The kind of heating occurring can damage the bee locally, condemning the bee to death. And you might have seen some stories and some pictures about a bunch of dead bees right around a 5G antenna. It's just terrible. Looking at the frequencies, keep in mind that presently 2.5 GHz is fairly common, or lower frequencies, and 3.5 GHz is rising in use as well. For 5G, several test sites are using the 28 GHz band, and the FCC also recently approved for satellite use of higher frequencies, 37.5 to 42 GHz and 47.2 to 51.4 GHz. Jeez. The FCC is also now allowing experimentation above 95 GHz and has approved thousands of satellites ensuring wireless on Earth. One reason 5G wireless development is worrying honest experts is because some of the wireless frequencies have resonance with bees, water, oxygen, and other life. What's resonance? Resonance means that, like pushing a swing at the right time, the frequency's wave has greater swing or power, which thus increases risk of heating and breaking as it locks on, whether onto molecules or other parts of life. Body resonance led to heating of the bee, pictured. Yeah, you could see it happening. Resonance of oxygen could interfere with our breathing. Even without 5G, our current exposures are causing serious harm, from infertility to learning disabilities. All this points to a need to support independent science, media, and the precautionary principle. 1G and up wireless harms butterflies, birds. Insects have declined by 75% in the last 3 decades. For butterflies like monarchs, the risk of wireless broadband radiation are on top of risks from toxic spraying and habitat loss. Real quickly, guys, if you're old enough, do you remember when you would drive as a child? and you'd go maybe on a trip for an hour or two, and there'd be all these bugs plastered on the front of your car. That just doesn't really happen anymore, does it? No, they're just not out there. The insects are gone. Yeah, there are still some mosquitoes that like to try to suck my blood, but all those other kinds of insects that used to just get splatted on the front of the car, you just don't see them anymore. It's very disconcerting. Besides research showing higher wireless frequencies raise the body temperature of insects, higher frequency 5G technology may destroy the sensing mechanisms of insects, such as the antenna of butterflies, which also equates to death. This theory has been put forward by Dr. Kostoff. Honeybee studies have also shown wireless causes hive desertion, stress, and threateningly curtails honey and egg production. Hive desertion by honeybees may not only be a function of severe discomfort, but of disorientation. A 2014 study provides evidence that wireless disrupts the internal compass of European robins. A 2016 study has found orientation of European robins disrupted by weak broadband wireless signals. Butterflies similarly orient with a magnetic compass sensitive to ultraviolet A and blue light. Senior study author of butterfly magnetic compass research, Stephen Reppert, a distinguished professor of neurobiology at UMass Medical School, notes butterflies are likely vulnerable to electromagnetic noise, a term which includes wireless and light. Studies on bees and butterflies have shown orientation disrupted by magnetic fields, although the frequencies and power levels were not necessarily wireless communications. The type of frequency used can change the impact or focus of the frequency, and so research is needed on different frequencies upon different forms of life, from plants to fungi to cells. Commonalities may exist because, just as in human beings, application of a magnetic field in bees also can generate calcium efflux. The United States Environmental Protection Agency has shared concerns over wireless and power frequency exposures for over two decades, submitting, for example, docket reports on threats to wildlife from cell towers. In 1990, the EPA prepared a report, never to be officially released, recommending radio frequencies, including wireless communications, be considered a possible human carcinogen, and power frequencies classified as probable human carcinogens. Legal power limits for these frequencies are currently set by the Federal Communications Commission, and the EPA has consistently objected to the FCC's cavalier stance and emphasized that the guidelines neglect chronic non-thermal exposure. Not only flying species use or depend on a magnetic compass, even ants utilize a magnetic compass to find home. Surprisingly, foxes use a magnetic compass to hunt prey hidden by snow. The scale of our losses from implementation of wireless have not been officially monitored by the U.S. government, but are being reported by concerned scientists. Botanist Mark Broomhall has submitted to UNESCO and IUCN a report documenting a correlation between new wireless generations and 70-90% losses in insects and birds, besides the disappearance of several species on Mount Nardi in the World Heritage Site at Australia National Nightcap Park. Across the world, ongoing familiar reports of losses in insect population, tree fertility, bat susceptibility to infection, etc., align with the development of new wireless generations, as well as scientific evidence and understanding. Yes, it really does seem like all of the microwaving is not helping these bees and butterflies and birds and other forms of life. And now on to news from just earlier this month. Two of Mexico's monarch butterfly protectors found dead. Two Mexican conservationists have been found dead within the span of a week. Both were environmentalists in the state of Michoacán in southwest Mexico. Michoacán, if I'm saying that even close to correctly, is home to the El Rosario Reserve, where monarch butterflies hibernate during the cold season. Homero Gomez Gonzalez was found on January 29th with a head injury and suspected death through drowning. He was nicknamed the Defender of the Monarch Butterfly due to his efforts in protecting the reserve. Raul Hernandez Romero was found just 3 days later with blunt blows on different parts of the body and a head injury caused by a sharp object, according to the official statement. The two ecologists helped lead marches, start demonstrations, and organized activists to protect the land. The reserve contains enough trees to support almost a billion monarch butterflies when they migrate south from Canada. However, the natural phenomenon has been threatened in recent years by activities such as logging. The El Rosario Reserve is a part of the Monarch Butterfly Biosphere Reserve, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Logging is illegal within the reserve, according to federal law, but still occurs because the timber is lucrative. Moreover, avocado orchards are one of the more profitable career options in Michoacán. Organized crime and various local gangs have diversified past drug trade and human trafficking to logging, avocado cultivation, and land theft. They have encroached into reserve land, and there have been conflicts between illegal loggers and conservationists in the past. There's a high chance that the two recent deaths are linked to these disputes. Violence throughout Mexico has been a common consequence of cartels and gangs. There were 33,341 murders in 2018, a 33% increase from the year before. At the same time, that violence has proliferated in the country. Environmental defenders around the world have faced harassment. In Mexico alone, 14 people were killed last year while protecting the environment. Other places like the Philippines and Brazil have also seen a spike in environmental deaths. Despite the fact that the forest area in the reserve increased 144% from last year, there is still concern of a negative long-term environmental impact on monarch butterfly populations due to climate change and deforestation. The results of the official investigation of the two murders are unlikely to change the current trend, but conservationists have rallied in response to the high-profile murders. Alright, so let's finish off with how you all out there can help to play the butterflies and enjoy seeing them outside of your house. It really is nice to see them fluttering past, and I'm sure your children, if you have any, will enjoy not only the colorful butterflies, but the flowers that you could plant to attract them. So here we go, 7 ways to attract butterflies to your garden. 1. Ditch the pesticides. This doesn't mean you can't do pest control in your garden, but certain pesticides, particularly malathion 7 and diazinon, will kill butterflies. If you're active with a neighborhood council or community garden, mention this to members as well. And why not take it a step further to help educate your community on safe pest control methods? 2. Grow native plants. Growing native plants in your garden is akin to supporting your local farmers markets. It's better for the planet, provides you with the easiest to care for crops, and it will support pollinators like butterflies and other local fauna that have evolved with the local flora. 3. Keep the sun in mind. Even if you have just a small patch of land or a balcony, if it gets good sun, you could help support butterflies. There's a reason we often associate butterflies with gorgeous sunny days. They typically only feed in full sun. 4. Plant the right colors. Butterflies like bright colors. Think red, yellow, orange, pink, and purple. And make sure the blossoms are flat-topped or have short flowering tubes. 5. Plant the right milkweed. Monarchs only eat from the milkweed plant, but did you know that there are many types of milkweed? If you plant the wrong one for your region, it might not do monarchs any good. Check out a guide for finding the right milkweed for your local butterflies. 6. Create butterfly spas. Okay, so you don't need to invest in a hot tub or sauna, but butterflies do require a little R&R, so why not invite them to do it in your yard? They prefer to rest in full sun, so nice flat rocks, tables, or chairs for them to sun in will bring these gorgeous creatures to your yard. They also love puddling, which is basically hanging out in damp sand or mud where they drink a little water and mineralize. You can create specific puddling spots for the butterflies by filling shallow dishes or pans with sand and a bit of water and placing them in sunny spots in your yard. The National Wildlife Federation recommends the following plants for common butterflies. Akmon Blue, buckwheat, lupines, milk vetch. It says milk vetch, kvetch. American Painted Lady, Cudweed Everlast, Baird's Swallowtail, Dragon Sagebrush. So this is just all the ones, like, if you're trying to attract specific types of butterflies, here's what to plant. Black Swallowtail, Parsley, Dill, Fennel, Common Rue, Coral Hairstreak, Wild Black Cherry, American and Chickasaw Plum, Black Chokeberry, Dun Skipper, plant sedges, grasses including Purple Top, Eastern Tiger Swallowtail, Wild Black Cherry, Ash, Tulip Tree, Willow, Sweet Bay, Basswood, the Giant Swallowtail, Prickly Ash, Citrus, Common Rue, Hop Tree, Gas Plant, Torchwood, Gray Comma, Gooseberry, Azalea, Elm, Great Purple Hairstreak, Mistletoe, Gulf Fritillary, Maypops, Other Passion Vines, Henry's Elfin, Redbud, Dahoon, and Yapon Hollies, Maple Leaved Viburnum, Blueberries, Monarch, just one, the Milkweeds, Painted Lady, Thistles, Mallows, Neovitas, Yellow Fiddleneck, Pygmy Blue, Saltbush, Lamb's Quarters, Pigweed, Red Admiral / White Admiral, Wild Cherries, Black Oaks, Aspens, Yellow and Black Birch, Silver Spotted Skipper, Locusts, Wisteria, Other Legumes, Spicebush Swallowtail, Sassafras, Spicebush, Sulphurs, Clover, Peas, Vetch, Alfalfa, Asters, Variegated Fritillary, Passion Flower, Maypop, Violet, Stonecrop, Purslane, Viceroy, Willows, Cottonwood, Aspen, Western Tailed Blue, Vetches, Milk Vetches, Western Tiger Swallowtail, Willow, Plum, Alder, Sycamore, Hop Tree, Ash, Woodland Skipper, Grasses, Zebra Swallowtail, Pawpaw. I don't even know what most of those butterflies would look like. I don't know the names. I've seen some nice ones in my day. I'm actually not familiar with all those plants either. But hey, just a little guide for you all that out there if you're interested in providing the butterflies with some sustenance and providing yourself with a nice little view out in your backyard or front yard. Well, guys, that's all I have for you here tonight. Thanks so much for tuning in. Please check out heathenherbs.com. You could also go over to renegadetribune.com and support us any way that you can. All right, talk to you all again soon. Take care.
Put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. Charge the people a dollar and a half just to see 'em.